Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is the integrative method in Holocaust studies, and why was it especially innovative in 1939? Born and raised in Berlin, Miriam Schultz completed her BA in Jewish Studies and History and Cultures of the Middle East at Freie Universität Berlin in 2011, followed by an MA in Judaism in Historical Context, specializing in Modern Judaism and Holocaust Studies at Freie Universität and Toro College Berlin in 2014. She later worked at the Jewish Museum in Berlin and the Topography of Terror, and interned at both the Leo Beck Institute in New York City and the Wiener Library for the Study of the Holocaust and Genocide in London. She's currently working on her PhD in Yiddish Studies at Columbia University in New York. Miriam's unique background and knowledge of languages have made it possible for her to do unprecedented research in previously undiscovered archives. At the recent Yiddish in Berlin program, she gave a lecture titled, Let's Collect for Justice, Churban Research as Jewish Civil Resistance, Before, During, and After the Genocide. She spoke about an innovative project that was carried out in 1939 to collect testimonies directly from victims of the Holocaust. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Miriam. The lecture that you gave, Let's Collect for Justice, you talked about Churbanforschung. Could you just briefly tell us about what it was, and we'll talk about it a little more later?
Churbanforschung means research of destruction. That's the direct translation from Yiddish. Churban is the traditional name for destruction, which was also used already, of course, in Hebrew for the destruction of the temple twice, and then later is the usual word in Yiddish for destruction in general.
So specifically, what does your work consist of, and what have you discovered? What kind of documents and things have you discovered?
My work consists of research into a specific historical commission whose archive I found in the Wiener Library when I was working there as an intern 4 years ago. This is document section 532, and it turned out to be the very first historical commission, Jewish historical commission in Eastern Europe that started to document the Holocaust already in 1939. And I tried to figure out who these people were, where they worked, how they worked, and then also translated huge parts of the archives into German from Yiddish.
So tell us about the refugee vanguard and how these documents came to exist.
In the beginning of the Second World War, that is September 1939, thousands of Poles took refuge to Lithuania, which was the only safe haven left in Eastern Europe. We speak about 14,000 refugees, Jewish refugees from Poland in Lithuania. And at the same time, the Polish government evacuated journalists, Polish journalists, both Jewish and not, to Lithuania as well. And then the committee formed itself very swiftly in November 1939, and they started to do interviews with refugees in Lithuania. Of course, not with all 14,000, but they tried to interview as many people as possible about their experiences in German-occupied Poland and on their flight to Vilnius.
How did the Polish government happen to evacuate these people?
Of course, they didn't know about the Soviet invasion in September 17th, and they thought to bring half of the journalists that were in Warsaw to the eastern territories, where they were supposed to just build up the press anew in these eastern territories. And then suddenly Poland didn't exist anymore. And so their plan to actually form this new press in the east was void. I mean, it didn't exist anymore.
What role did the joint play?
The joint quickly realized that they had to step in Vilnius, because Vilnius was basically swamped with a refugee crisis due to the large amount of refugees coming from Poland. And a lot of different refugee committees stepped in, and the joint was the main one that helped Jewish refugees. And regarding the commission that formed itself in November 1939, they basically gave them the money to do this and also housed all of these refugee journalists and writers in one house together.
Did they have any difficulty with this? I mean, moving in and supporting these activities?
They didn't have any difficulties. The only thing is that they had to work clandestinely. It wasn't supposed to be known that this was the plan of their activities, to document war crimes of Germans.
Tell us about who Neuch Prilutsky was and his research project.
Neuch Prilutsky was a very famous Yiddishist in interwar Poland. He formed and was actually in the Polish government as a member of the Folkist Partei that he himself created, which fought actually for Jewish autonomy in Poland. So we're speaking of diaspora nationalism here. He was also a very, very important Yiddish philologist, very interested in the Yiddish language and Yiddish dialects. And he, already in the interwar years and even before, collected, together with these kind of collectives, Yiddish words in, for example, the red light district in Warsaw. And like very interesting, and all of this, when he came to Vilnius, already prepared him for this kind of work, to organize collection of material about something very different, of course, than philology, but he was very trained in these kinds of endeavors.
So tell us about the methodology that was special.
The methodology can be described as basically just having these interviews every day with all kinds of Jews. We speak of the whole strata of Polish Jewry that basically came to Vilnius. They really tried to speak with yeshiva bochrim, with women, with rabbis, with children, all of them. They were interested in all of them. But at the same time, they also realized for like a complete documentation of what was happening in German-occupied Poland, they also needed perpetrator sources. So they eagerly tried to also collect German publications or decrees that came out in German-occupied Poland.
So in other words, the information that they got from the perpetrators was in writing. I mean, they weren't able to interview perpetrators. I'm sure the perpetrators weren't going to come and say, we're doing these terrible things.
No, of course. I imagine it to be the case that refugees basically just brought these kinds of publications. And we can say about the methodology that they actually did pioneering work at already in 1939, because they combined victims and perpetrator sources at the same time. And this kind of methodology is nowadays called integrative method in Holocaust studies. And it only entered the field, the academic field of Holocaust studies, in the 1980s and 90s.
So these are the documents that you found in Yiddish?
Exactly. So these documents are mostly victims' voices, but we also find decrees of Germans, and they combined both of them to write reports that they would disseminate to Jewish organizations worldwide.
It's amazing that nobody discovered this sooner.
Absolutely amazing, yes. I found it in the Wiener Library, where basically no one knows Yiddish or Hebrew, so this is one reason, I guess. Then, of course, unfortunately, right after the war, where people might have known that this collection actually exists, the world wasn't really interested in victims' voices. This was a worldwide illness, I would say. And only, as I said, in the 80s and 90s, suddenly people realized, oh God, there are so many Yiddish sources or victim sources that we actually should look at also.
Well, it may be a good thing, because if anybody had known about it, they might have destroyed it.
That's also true. Yeah, that's true. Even though the Wiener Library, of course, wouldn't have destroyed it. But who knows what would have happened. Yes, that's true.
Tell us about Simon Dubnow.
Simon Dubnow is one of the most important Eastern European Jewish historians, and he, in 1891, kind of started this whole Hobenforschung movement amongst Eastern European Jews. In 1891, he gave out something like a pamphlet that urged Eastern European Jews to finally realize that history is actually the binding thing that holds the Jewish people together and that will be kind of the core of Jewish nationalism. And he made Eastern European Jews collect all kinds of different sources, Jewish sources that they find in their shtetlach, and also actually record oral history about what was going on in their hometowns. And he, of course, also wrote this very important history book, so a book about the history of Russian Jewry. And yeah, we can say actually that he is the very first, the initiator of what we see in the shadow of the Holocaust, where people started to document what was happening to the Jewish people under the Germans.
Because this was 50 years before the Holocaust, so he must have been working with the Russian pogroms. And
exactly. So the first time this actually was implemented, this type of democratic collecting of material about Jewish persecution, was after the first pogrom of the 20th century in 1903 in Chisinau, where he formed a historical commission and sent people to Chisinau to interview people, to find every little detail about what was happening, and then wrote kind of a report about this pogrom and made it known to Jews worldwide. So this was the first time. Then in the shadow, of course, of the First World War, the same thing happened regarding the huge pogroms during the Civil War in Russia, 1919. We can see the same type of movements amongst Eastern European Jews.
Was all of that documentation published prior to World War II, or are those documents that people also had to search for?
They were published, but they were, of course, also transformed into poems. For example, the very important poem in Schritterstadt, in the City of Slaughter, from Nachman Bialik, the to-be Israeli national poet, is based on his documentation of the Chisinau pogrom, for example, and Anski's Hoben Galitze, which deals with the events of the First World War in Galicia. He basically also just collected material and afterwards wrote his Hoben Galitze. Yeah, and when we talk about the pogroms in the Civil War, for example, Elia Cherikova also created one of these historical commissions. He has a humongous archive about these pogroms. And actually, in the Sholem Schwarzbart trial in Paris, who murdered Petluria, who was basically the instigator of these pogroms, he came as a witness in the trial. And because of his documentation, Sholem Schwarzbart was acquitted. He didn't have to go to prison because of the documentation of Elia Cherikova.
Is this documentation all in a place? I mean, is it also all in Vilna, or is it in different places?
We can certainly find it all, I guess, in the YIVO archive, Yiddish Wissenschaftliche Institut, which is now located in New York City.
Okay, now tell us about the network of Hudrenforschung. Who were they? What did they do?
So it is my claim, at least, that this Hobenforschung in the shadow of Nazi persecution started in Vilnius with the Vilnius Committee in 1939, in November 1939. And what I found out is that many important members of this committee later were active in, for example, the Warsaw Ghetto, the Vilnius Ghetto, but also in the Soviet Union, documenting the Holocaust in these other localities. So we, of course, know about Ringelblum's Oinek Shabbos archive in the Warsaw Ghetto, and Yitzhak Gitterman, who before that worked for the Vilnius Committee, was later incarcerated in the Warsaw Ghetto and started to work with Ringelblum immediately, for example. Same is true for Avrom Sutzgewehr, very famous Yiddish writer, also in the afterwar years. And he started to work with the Vilnius Committee, then was active as part of the paper brigade in the Vilnius ghetto, and then was able to get to the unoccupied Soviet Union, where he was part, an active part of the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee of the Soviet Union. These are only a few examples, of course, of this network. But
from when to when does this archive take place? I mean, what are the dates involved here?
The material that I found actually only goes from November 1939 to March 1940. But I'm pretty sure that they actually worked until the invasion of the German Wehrmacht of Lithuania, which started in June 1941. They published a collection of refugee reports in the summer of 1940 under Soviet occupation, for example. And only on the day of the German invasion of Lithuania did Prilutsky actually destroyed the whole archive. So it's quite logical that he tried to collect material about German war crimes until then.
But there must have been a copy saved someplace.
Exactly. For example, the one that I found in the Wiener Library. I found another one in an archive in Israel. And as I said before, it was very important for the committee to disseminate the material, so I might actually find it somewhere else as well. So, yeah.
Because something that I thought that was very interesting at the end of your talk the other day was that you said that they predicted that millions of Jews would be killed and this would be the worst persecution in history. And this was really before the Final Solution.
Yeah, that's true. This is written in a letter to the Joint, which is basically a grant proposal for the continuation of financial support for the committee, which was written in March 1940. There they say exactly this, that this is an unprecedented persecution in history, not even modern history. Of course, thanks to the documentation, they realized that this was an organized crime of unprecedented dimensions. This is not, we're not speaking about pogroms, which they knew, of course, as well, how pogroms actually turn out of being very spontaneous and end at a certain point. Thanks to the documentation of, for example, the occupation of Warsaw and Łódź, they realized that the goal of Nazi Germany was to annihilate the Jewish people of Poland.
So what are you working on now?
Well, I'm a grad student still, so I have to write my dissertation, which is basically I follow Grubenforschung in the Soviet Union amongst Yiddish speakers in the 1940s, but I also want to look at what came later on after the virtual destruction of Yiddish culture in the Soviet Union. But of course, there were still Yiddish speakers, and they also spoke about the Holocaust. So this is what I'm working on now.
So are you planning to continue with the same topic in the future after you finish your dissertation?
There's a lot to do still with this material that I found. So far, I mostly talked about the commission itself, but didn't really write about what they actually documented. So this is, of course, the next step, to actually look at the documents themselves and look in what way this can inform us about the very early stage of the Holocaust.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.